This week, WUWM is exploring Milwaukee's innovation landscape. Historically, its water, the river network feeding into Lake Michigan, was key to Milwaukee's booming innovative and industrial successes. But Milwaukee's cutting-edge status has dramatically dropped. Today, as part of our Project Milwaukee series, WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz explores Milwaukee's concerted push to position itself as a water technology hub.
Hensley Foster's career as an industrial engineer stretched across four decades, but he says when it ended, his creative juices were far from tapped out. So in 2012, he divined Stonehouse Water Technologies, and UW-Milwaukee carved out lab space within its School of Freshwater Sciences for Foster's research. He drives me over to see what has morphed into a mini water utility.
When we were first starting out, we were looking at capturing water using cisterns and things like that, and we knew that once we captured the water, we would have to filter it. But we had this revelation that what we really needed to do was concentrate on a core module to purify water.
With a mantra of low energy, low flow, Foster's water pod took shape. He says what the public will see is a sleek, 5-foot-tall water dispenser.
We have completely redesigned it because, like our guy says, it looks like a coffee maker.
Yet behind the scenes, the mini utility is cleansing the water.
And this is the water coming in. It comes in over here, and it goes through these series of filters and UV treatments and comes back out.
Foster's creation is gaining momentum. His crew installed a system in Algoma, Wisconsin, and next week, one will go online at an El Rey grocery store on Milwaukee's South Side. Later this year, Foster expects to launch projects in the Dominican Republic and Africa. He considers himself one of the lucky few. Foster's was among the first startups to move into the Global Water Center as it launched its BREW program. It brings together established businesses, researchers, and entrepreneurs so they can collaborate. Foster has garnered $300,000 in grants and services to push his product forward. Yet he worries that others with promising water tech ideas will fall through the cracks due to short incubation time and scarce funding.
What this whole thing sort of encourages is the very young that's still in college that can afford to really work on some cool ideas. And on the other end, you got people like me that's kind of should be retired. And we miss that middle part. Somebody saying, hey, I got a kid, I can't afford to do that. I'd love to take my idea because it's going to take me a couple more years. And that's the one thing I've learned about being here for 2 years. Money is it.
There are not a lot of seed funds, angel funds, investors who are saying, boy, I'm going to put my money into water.
Dean Amhouse heads the Water Council. It has exploded with growth. 6 years ago, Amhouse was a staff of one. In 2013, the group transformed a century-old warehouse into the Global Water Center and rolled out its BREW Accelerator program. It has nurtured 19 startups and has facilitated a dozen patents. Yet, Amhouse says increasing the funding pool to support more than a few entrepreneurs at a time and for longer than a year remains a nagging challenge.
Because of the fact that it's a long return, some of these investors, you know, they want to put it in an app where you can make $1 billion, you know, in a few years. That's just not the nature of this.
Some resources are flowing in, including from the National Science Foundation. Its funding, coupled with industry money, has created the Water Equipment and Policy Center. Marquette University engineering professor Dan Zittimer says the center has cultivated collaboration among Marquette, UW-Milwaukee, and water industries. Together, they've created technology to instantly monitor water quality.
Now we have 14 industry members, and have been very successful. Multiple licensing agreements and technologies that are being developed.
To be exact, 10 licensing agreements and 4 patent applications. And Zittimer is confident the center will continue to succeed because its members have established an infrastructure for communication.
It's getting people to talk that don't usually talk, and that really fosters new ideas and new products for the marketplace.
I mean, we could have a little office somewhere off by ourselves and do the same thing.
That's Scott Royer. He oversees R&D for the international company Veolia. It recently handpicked 3 startups that will spend the next year at the Global Water Center to benefit from its ecosystem.
The fact that there are other companies here, there are other entrepreneurs here, there's a brew class that helps teach people to be better entrepreneurs, all this networking available, and all these ideas getting thrown around, it's a catalyst for helping us develop these opportunities.
Royer thinks Milwaukee is on track to become a hub of water technology innovation, but challenges exist. Linda Reed led UW-Whitewater's Institute for Water Business. It opened an office in the Global Water Center and funneled students into Milwaukee's water scene.
I do have a sense that young people who are really interested in working in water might not be able to find their place because of budget cuts to state institutions.
A steady stream of financial support is vital to keep innovators here, according to Greg Meyer. He's a software guy who helps mentor a number of startups.
We're competing against other states and even around the world for this talent base. This is the most highly sought after talent base in the world. Innovative people, and in particular, innovative people who have technology skills, engineering, software. Everyone in the world wants these people.
Meyer says water innovation talent is percolating here, but the city will have to compete aggressively to create the Milwaukee of the future. Susan Bentz, 89.7, WUWM.